Hey folks, this is To Know the Land, broadcasting from the Treaty Territories of the Mississauga of the Credit on 93.3 FM at the University of Guelph. Maybe you're listening to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever else you listen to your podcasts. It's a show about our connections with the land base, how we interact with the land, how we learn about the land, how we defend the land. My name is Byron, and today I'm talking with Alana Grant and Jonathan Chu of FREED, which stands for Field Research in Ecology and Evolution Diversified. Can you all introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Alana. I'm a PhD candidate here at the University of Guelph. I am in integrative biology, completing my degree in animal physiology, so I get to look at the gray squirrels.
And I'm Jonathan. I'm also a PhD candidate in integrated biology. I study cats. In fact, I put cameras on cats to see exactly what they eat from the outdoors. And yeah, I've been a part of FREED for almost a year now and really excited to share a little bit more about the initiative and organization.
I'm curious about the integrated biology program. I never went to university except for to go hang out with people who I knew that were there, and spend way too much time in the library at the University of Guelph. I love that place. Can you tell me about the integrated biology program?
Sure. So the integrative biology program at Guelph looks at different aspects of biology. So it's one large department, but it encompasses a lot of different fields of study. So there's ecology, evolution, physiology, microbiology, and I believe also human kinetics falls under integrative biology. And so we do research kind of in those aspects. And then for my lab also, we combined ecology and physiology. So we're an eco-physiology lab, which is really integrated.
And that's the Newman Lab.
That is the Newman lab, yes.
I can't remember how many years ago, but I interviewed Dr. Amy Newman on the show about squirrels and stress. And it was one of the first interviews I ever did. And I stammered over my words, and it was a terrible interview. And I think in the future, I'm gonna reach out to Dr. Newman again to see about doing that interview again, or another just an update to find out more about the findings that y'all have come up with.
Yeah, I think she would love that.
Cool. I'll reach out then. Jonathan, you study cats? Are you're putting like a GoPro on a cat or something?
Essentially, yeah, it's a little less high def as a GoPro, but I like to say it's in some ways a little bit more high tech because it can last 25 hours on a single charge, which is important because we want the camera to stay on the cat as long as possible so that we can see as much as possible what the cat does throughout a day. And so there essentially we put a camera on, we see exactly what the cat does. Particularly we're interested to see what types of species are being eaten by cats and how much, as well as what kind of risks the cat face when they're in the outdoors. So are they crossing roads a lot? Are they going to dangerous areas like construction sites, those kind of things.
That's cool. That's cool. I track cats a lot in the winter, and they always show up in places I just wouldn't imagine. They are everywhere. Domestic cats or feral cats are like in the middle of far off parks. And it seems like sometimes, have maybe you've noticed this. We're totally getting off track, but maybe you've noticed this, that are they feeding on carrion at all?
They do. I have found in videos that they will, they find like a dead animal. They will partake. They tend not to. I think there's some research on sort of the cat's food preferences. They tend not to like carrion, as much as some other mammals, but they're quite opportunistic. So they have been, and I have seen them eating less than fresh kill, should I say.
Yeah, I think I've seen that too in the tracks.
Right.
I just want to get back to what we're here for, and that's to talk about FREED, Field Research in Ecology and Evolution Diversified. First, what do you mean by field research? Alana, can you answer that?
Yeah. So field research is essentially going out into the natural world and collecting observations or samples. So important questions around the environment, animals, and conservation quite literally require researchers to get our hands dirty. And so to study the natural world, we have to go out into it. And so for a lot of the research we do in ecology and evolution, We do go out and collect samples and work directly with the environment and the animals that we're asking these important questions about. And so we call that field work. So it's kind of like the collection process of your research.
You've on the website for free, you talk about there are financial restraints of obtaining this field research experience for a lot of students, especially BIPOC students. What are the financial restraints? I think when I first thought about field research, because I don't have experience in a formal setting, I thought, isn't that covered with the tuition and all that?
You would think, you would hope. So for a lot of students in ecology and evolution, they're looking to either get jobs within industry that require them to do field work or continue through academia, which conducts research with field work. And so to get into these positions, what a lot of these either companies or universities are looking for is for students to already have some level of experience in field research. And so now we're looking at the and not just the grad level. And so for these undergraduate students to get field research experiences, that's where we're starting to see a lot of the barriers come in. And so field research alone, we see it as a privilege. These experiences often for a lot of students, they're volunteer based, which means they're not getting paid for the time. And so the time that they would be volunteering takes away from time that they would actually be working. This was something I experienced myself in undergrad. I always had to work a summer job. So I couldn't get field experience that was volunteer based. And then working outside as well can be quite expensive for students. And so some of these positions require you to have your own equipment, have your own outdoor gear, have your own hiking boots. And then on top of that, they require you to either have your own car or access to your own vehicle in order to get to these field research places, because field research is conducted all over the country, all over the world. And it can be something as simple as my work, where I actually work on campus, but it can also be something extremely complicated, like working out in the Yukon. And so for students to get these experiences, it's actually quite a privilege, because you have to be able to afford the equipment, you have to be able to afford the travel, and you have to be able to afford, and a lot of times, not getting paid for your work. And so it is a barrier for students that are looking to get into industry or grad school or research further on, because these experiences are so valuable to have on your resume.
I can't imagine, like, already on top of the costs for tuition, which seems so high, like it's incredible. And then you pay more to get this experience and you're not getting paid right away. And then even if you are, as a young person, or if you look at the numbers of how people are paid based on, like BIPOC folks are paid less than white folks often, it's incredible the struggle it must be to get that experience in. Jonathan, I wanted to ask you why, when we look at the field research in ecology and evolution diversified, What is implied by diversified, and why does it need to be diversified?
Well, I think this gets into the heart of a lot of issues in society, especially not just in ecology, but in STEM as a whole. There is, you know, a disproportionate representation in professional researchers to be of a certain race. And we feel in ecology that this is sort of, this is the that effect is even more magnified because of these barriers that Alana just mentioned. And what we think is problematic is that, you know, to be a good researcher, to be to have a strong research field, you need multiple types of opinions. You need opinions from different types of people, from different types of backgrounds. That's how we grow our knowledge. That's how we push knowledge forward. If we're only going down the same sort of rabbit holes in the same ideas, we may not explore all the possible solutions out there. And now that makes sense scientifically, but I think people don't really give credit to how their upbringing, their cultural biases can be a part of that. And so to diversify field research and to diversify ecology and evolution means to start bringing these people that have been excluded as to the conversation, have them part of the conversation, so that not only they benefit, but the field as a whole benefits. And I think we're trying to get people on that idea that it's not just, you know, we're not just helping folks out. It helps everyone out. It's the way things should be.
I often imagine it as bird song, like if we only heard a blue jay and we thought that was all of bird song, we'd be so limited in our understanding of the birds and the beauty of the world. But if we pay attention to more songs, we pay attention to more ways of knowing these songs, and it just amplifies this incredible experience of life. And so why not have the diversity? You know, like, why not?
Exactly right.
And if you care about the land, you want more voices and more eyes seeing it from different perspectives. So it just makes so much more sense. How did y'all get involved?
I got involved in FREED back in, what year is it? It's 2024, back in 2023. I think around 2022, 2023. So myself and the co-founders of FREED both won the same EDI award from the Ontario chapter of the Wildlife Society, OCTWS. They had an EDI award. We had both won it. And so on the website, they both put up like a little blurb about us. And so the FREED directors had seen that I was at Guelph and that I was also really interested in outreach with BIPOC students in ecology. And so they actually sent me an email. I call it our little meet cute. They sent me an email to say, we would really love to bring FREED to Guelph. Would you like to be a part of it? And I was so excited. I immediately jumped on the opportunity. And so that's how I got involved. And so right now I am the co-organizer and liaison for Guelph. Jonathan is my counterpart. And we also run workshops at the FREED events that we help organize.
And Jonathan, how did you get involved with FREED?
Yeah, so I was I was like last minute help and I just stuck on. So during last year's event that Alana painstakingly planned, she was like, oh, I need someone to drive a car back to Guelph because I won't be able to. Jonathan, you're available, right? You tend to do things people ask you to do. So I said yes, and then they said, oh, you can come drive, but also you can stay for the whole weekend. So I'll stay for the whole weekend and help out. And I think one of my strengths is being flexible. So I guess I really made a great impression, and I felt like it helped out a lot. And I just loved the initiative itself. So I stuck. I kept being involved, and yeah, now I'm helping plan this year's event alongside Alana as a Guelph organizer / university liaison.
And I would like to say that recruiting Jonathan was honestly one of the best things that could have happened for the Guelph Freed branch. He really is my perfect counterpart because all the things I seem to forget, he's just right on top. And of course, like, he has the exact Freed attitude and enthusiasm that all of the organizers share. So it's been really wonderful to work together.
It's nice when things just work like that. Can you come help? And then here's this partner that works well. Yeah, well done. We've sort of talked around it a little bit, but Jonathan, could you explain what FREED does and is?
Sure. So FREED is essentially trying to directly tackle some of these barriers that we've mentioned. So we want people to get involved in field research. We want people, especially undergrads, who don't have the ability to or haven't had the opportunity to get involved in field research. We want to give them those opportunities, and we want to give them those opportunities that are accessible. So what sort of functionally we do is we hold a week-long or overnight, I should say. It depends on the funding at the different universities, but we try to have an overnight, as long as possible, event somewhere in the wild, where we take a number of undergraduate students, BIPOC undergraduate students, who have indicated that they've faced barriers to being involved in ecology and evolutionary research, as well as who've indicated that they face barriers. So we run this sort of overnight trip. Throughout the trip, we have different workshops led by BIPOC people, whether they're in graduate school or the conservation sector, generally early career individuals. And so we give them workshops on different types of skills that they can take away and put on their resume to say, you know what? I've done this in the field. I am a strong candidate. I can apply for this job now. And this gives them a sort of, it levels the playing field for them and gets them sort of on equal footing as some other undergraduates who might have been fortunate enough to receive these positions. So this year we're going to the Algonquin Wildlife Research Center for a week. We're taking 10 Guelph undergraduate students, BIPOC undergraduate students. It's really exciting. We last year we did a weekend only at the Toronto Zoo. It was amazing too, but now we get to step it up and step it up and create such a even bigger event and opportunity for these students.
The Wildlife Research Station is awesome. I like that place. I got to go for the first time 4 years ago, and I've been going nearly every year since, except for the shutdown over COVID.
Right.
We didn't go up then. But how cool is it that you get to take folks up there for, are you going for the weekend or the week?
It's a whole week. And
that's
I
awesome.
I mentioned accessibility, but I can go into like what exactly that means. So for one thing, we're paying for their travel. So there's a stipend for travel accommodations. We're paying for their accommodation, so they don't have to pay anything to stay at the AWRS. We're offering a needs-based bursary. So if they've indicated that they will be losing wages because they have to take time off of work for a week, we'll offset that. We'll pay you to come up. So really, there is it. We ask nothing of the participants to join. We're just saying, are you passionate? Have you like? Do you want to do this? Come up. We'll pay you. We'll make sure you come up here and get to experience this, so that you can put it on your resume.
Y'all can't see me. None of the listeners can see me. I'm privately dancing when I hear that. Yes. Yeah. I didn't get to go to Algonquin until I was like, I don't know how old, 30 something.
I still haven't been to the Wildlife Research Station. I've been to Algonquin. Like, I've drone through the highway. Like, I've went into some of the hiking trails a couple times. I've never even been to the Wildlife Research Station. So it definitely is, again, like, these opportunities are rare, and it's very rare for folks like us. So it's just super special.
Yeah.
I will say I have gone to the Algonquin Wildlife Research Station as part of one of the field courses run by Guelph. So that does require students to pay to go. And so it's an awesome opportunity that we have a program like this now at Guelph. So students that were kind of in the same position I was in don't have to deal with that to get those experiences. So we're super excited to be able to take them to the research station because it's such an awesome place to learn.
I so appreciate the work that y'all are doing, you know, to make this stuff more accessible for BIPOC folks. And yeah, it just means a lot, not only to, especially to other folks. But when you're at the Wildlife Research Station, what will the program look like? What will you do and where will you go while you're there?
So the program is each day is we try and give them as much free time as possible, but they are pretty jam-packed. So the typical day looks like breakfast. We have breakfast all together at 8 a.m. And then sometimes we'll have a talk during breakfast. So either from one of the organizers, or we also have faculty sponsors that come with us. So faculty members. So just something interesting to talk about, think about while they're eating. And then we go right into our first workshop. So the first workshop is 3 hours, and that's before lunch. And our workshops can be anything from applicable field skills to also general outdoor skills. So this year we will be doing a paddling workshop. We'll be teaching students how to paddle proper strokes, things like that, how to portage a canoe, and that will be with Paddle Like a Girl. We're super excited to have them come this year. And so we have a workshop. And that workshop can look like anything like that. So it could be a lecture, it could be something hands-on, it could be an activity. We do bird watching, things like that. And then they have lunch, and then there's going to be a second workshop in the afternoon. And so same deal, anything ranging from industry work, conservation work, outdoor work, or a workshop led by your organizers, usually looking at what our research looks at. And then in the evenings, we like to give them free time. We also have campfires, and so we kind of reflect on our day. We talk about things we liked, things we didn't like, things we're proud of, and we also try to incorporate Indigenous knowledge, and so we'll have usually a reading from some source of Indigenous knowledge, and we'll talk about it, we'll reflect on it, and then bedtime. We're also, so right now we're be for the most of the week, we'll be staying at the Algonquin Wildlife Research Station in the cabins, but we're also incorporating an overnight camping trip. So that will be off the Algonquin Wildlife Research Station grounds. We'll be taking the students so they can get the experience of sleeping in a tent and a little bit, it's like backwoods camping light. And so our workshops typically take place on the Algonquin Research Station grounds, but we also take them around the park to different locations, depending what we need for each workshop.
Why is it important that y'all cover some of that Indigenous knowledge?
Yeah, so I think science right now is very traditionally Western. It's very Westernized, which is hard because we're not in a Westernized place. Our landscape is not matching the knowledge base that we're bringing to the students. And so, like Jonathan mentioned, if you go down the same rabbit holes, or I always like to think of looking at an elephant really close up. If you only look from one standpoint and you have someone describe it, you have someone standing at the leg, that's their viewpoint. They can describe it. It's long, it's wide. But if you have someone looking at the trunk or the tail, that's a completely different perspective. And so by incorporating multiple different perspectives, knowledge bases, things like that, we're able to get the full picture. So we're able to describe what a full elephant looks like if we all are only looking at one body part. And so I think it's incredibly important to incorporate Indigenous knowledge because we are working on their lands. We are trying to discover things and answer questions to things that probably already have the answer because we're quite relatively new here.
I appreciate that y'all incorporate that sort of decolonial lens to the work as well, because it just, that's what we need. It's so good. I'm stoked that y'all are doing that. Maybe we'll start with Jonathan, but for the both of you, like, what's your favorite part of the Freed Initiative? Like, why do you like it so much?
I think for me, it's one of those things that, like, going through my undergrad, I had similar experiences where, like, all my field experiences that I, the few and far between that I got were volunteer-based, very short-term, because I could only volunteer for a short term. You had to go back home to work and do other things. And so for me, just being a part of something where I myself would have loved as undergrad, I think that's super cool. I mean, a big part of what I've been trying to do throughout my graduate degree is involve undergrads as much as possible and, you know, try to get them excited about ecology. And, you know, people throughout my career lend a helping hand to me. I have many mentors, many advisors, my undergraduate advisor, my master's advisor. They were both super, like, willing to take me on as someone who had very little experience. And I try to be that for undergrad. So the initiative is, like, squarely in line with, like, what I've been trying to do. And it's, like, been so great that people has already set up a framework that I can just be a part of it and apply what I think I want to do as well. So that's why I really like the initiative.
Elena?
It's hard to pick one thing. Definitely from Jonathan's perspective, yes, I also agree with that. It's definitely a program that I would have loved as an undergrad, so I'm really happy to be a part of it now. What I really like about Freed as well is that we try to build a sense of community within the Freed network. So with the students, as well as the organizers, as well as the workshop leaders, we are all some level of marginalized group or BIPOC individual. And so it really creates this sense of identity in ecology, because I think for a lot of us, we're these little islands by ourselves in ecology. And so it's really nice to come together and have that level of representation, especially for the students, to see someone of color or of a similar background as you working the job you want is incredibly encouraging. And I think it really does show them, and it is super meaningful to say, like, you can do this. I am from almost the same background as you. I have the same experiences as you. And I made it to the point that you're working to. Like, it's completely doable. And so I think that's incredibly important with the Freed programming, is that we have some level of representation and mentorship between the different levels of students, organizers, even us. Like, we get to see people in industry and jobs that Jonathan and I eventually want to work. And we're like, we could totally do this. Like, it just makes it so much more accessible.
Has anybody who's been through, like, the Freed Initiative come back to in like an instructor role on, like, teaching some of those workshops that have happened?
In different levels, yes, people have come back. I think we're still too new to have any of our original participants. They're probably just finishing their undergrads, come back as workshop leaders, but we are so excited for that. We have roles within Freed that students, if they want to return, totally can do. And so they can be an organizer like Jonathan and myself. They can work at a higher level of Freed. So the board of directors is what I'll call it, because I can't remember the name right now, but they can be. We've had students come back, and I think someone right now is on the financial officer. We have students come back and do social media features as well as act as liaisons in their own capacity, so student liaisons at their school to help us bring the program to other undergrad students and talk about their experience. In Guelph, we've definitely had one or two students come back and help Jonathan and I out, either with like social media, spreading the word to new students, and talking about their experience. So it's been really wonderful because we still get to stay in touch with a lot of the students that participate.
Y'all also mentioned that not only does Freed bring folks to the Algonquin Wildlife Research Station, but you've also gone to the Toronto Zoo. What did you do at the zoo?
So the zoo really was an interesting experience to like experience field work. I think it was like very cool because so they stayed at the Toronto Zoo Bush Camp. So it's a program that they have there to get visitors to like, sleep overnight at the zoo and experience the zoo as a family. So we went before their season started, so we had access to their grounds to stay in. But we did our workshops in and around the zoo, mostly outside in the nearby Rouge National Urban Park. Which is amazing because like I grew up in that area, like I literally grew up across the street, so I got to explore and like show off like a place I used to play in and explore animals in all the time. And so that's what we did. We used the Toronto Zoo as like a way to like introduce. It was like a nice safe way for people to like experience field work because they still have electricity, they still have running water, they're still in like an urban area where they feel safe to have a cell service and whatnot, but we still take them out, do real field work. It's very real. I mean, we may get into it in the top moments, but it became very real very quickly. And yeah, that's what it looked like at the Toronto. That was a weekend. So yeah.
Great segue. Do you have any top moments when you're
Sure.
telling folks about Freed?
Sure. I'll just quickly go do it because I led into it. And so we were in the wetlands, in the bare wetlands in the Rouge National Urban Park, and we were doing a workshop on turtle tracking. So the students were out there with their radio telemetry antennas, trying to find turtles, as well as looking through traps. And then one of our workshop leaders, Sally, had a workshop that was coming up next, and she left her gear, she brought her gear into the wetlands and then left it at some entrance and said, "We'll come back and pick it up." And she's like, "Okay." One of our leaders was waiting all the way back at the trailhead to say it's time to set up the next workshop. So Sally's like, "Okay, I'll come back and pick up myself and then go set up my workshop." And then I was like, "Okay, we should do buddy system. I should probably come with you." And then she's like, "Okay, let's go." And then we're like, "Wait, where did we leave our stuff?" And we were like trying to hustle. We were trying to like wait, like navigate and like orienteer like in the middle of the wetland. Like I think it was this way. And it became very real. Like I don't know how to explain it best for like folks that haven't done fieldwork before, but like that it felt like so many experiences where you're just in the middle of nowhere and you just have to, pull it together and figure out what to do and you use whatever knowledge that you can to like make it happen. It worked. We found our stuff. We made it back to the trailhead and set up the workshop. And then we were just at the we were, the workshop was at on the river, the Rouge River. And we were just sitting at the river, and it was just Sally and I and Aranya, the one of the co-directors, and we were just like enjoying the peaceful moment after this chaotic situation, and it was amazing. I just love telling that story because I whenever people ask, yeah, this is real field work. Like they're getting like their feet wet, their toes wet. They get the full experience, honestly.
Yeah, for me, my favorite moment so far, because I also, I think my only experience with Freed until the summer is the Toronto Zoo. And so it was the same thing. We're in the wetlands. And one of the most rewarding things about Freed is seeing the students get to do something new and get to see them be so excited about something. And so everyone's super excited to be there. They're all really passionate. However, they might be a little tentative to try something new, they might be a little bit shy. And so for the wetland stuff with the turtles, they got to wear hip waders, which are these big rubber boots that essentially like go up all to your armpits. So you can stand in water and you're supposed to stay dry. Sometimes they don't stay dry. But seeing the shyest students like pop these things on and throw themselves into the water to go look for turtles really was touching. And I warned the students, I was like, you might look over and see me. I'm fine. I'm just really happy that you're having fun. And so I even bring a Polaroid camera with me. We do have a photographer that comes out with us to capture these special moments. But I try and give the students each a Polaroid of something cool they did so they can take it home. So I'm really like that annoying mom who's running around taking photos and sobbing the whole time. So getting Polaroids of that moment was really special for me to give it to the students. Like they were just, it's just so heartwarming. I really do cry while we're out there.
That's awesome. I'm glad that you do that. How cool is it that people maybe are caught up in the work they're doing, and then later on they get that photo and a beautiful memory to pin to the wall? I want to ask, both in a context of the workshop spaces that y'all hold, and also at an organizational level, who are you learning from? Like, what are the models that Freed sort of takes after or is looking to do better as an organization? And then who also is coming out? Like, are there any names you want to drop of folks that are, you mentioned Paddle Like a Girl this summer?
Yeah, so Freed is constantly learning, growing, and updating our programs. So we also receive feedback from the students. We have them fill out surveys before and after, as well as once they are selected for Freed, they're able to communicate with us and give us a list of things that they need that we might not have thought of. So, like Jonathan mentioned, we try to think of everything for the students in terms of travel, as well as financial costs, things like that, equipment. But we always have like open communication with the students to see how can we make it even more accessible. And one thing we've incorporated was a prayer tent for students that require prayer time, as well as a low stimulation tent. Which was something I think we all really benefited from for students that just need a place to be by themselves in the quiet just for a little bit because it can be such long days, such stimulating, exciting days. And so it really is nice to have that space for students. On top of that, all of our workshop leaders that do participate in Freed, we try and learn from each other. But before we even go on these trips, we do a lot of learning. And so we have Indigenous knowledge keepers that we consult with, and we show them what we're working on in our workshop, and they help us incorporate more Indigenous knowledge. So this year, and I think last for the last 2 years, we've been working with Christine Lukasavich. I'm so sorry if I pronounce anyone's name wrong. And so she's really helping us to incorporate Indigenous knowledge into our own workshops and how we can make it not solely Westernized science that we're teaching. We also have a lot of support and a lot of collaborators from Ontario Parks. And so they're also helping us to do interpretive naturalist knowledge. And so we had a workshop on that this week as well. That was led by Jennifer Dallin, who is, I think, the interpretive naturalist for Ontario Parks. And so that's looking at how we can take the big picture. And how we can incorporate that into our workshops. Because a lot of times we are teaching technical skills, but we do want to make sure that the students are understanding why they're doing it and feel some level of connection to the systems, the ecosystems, and the animals that they're working with. So that's who I think we're learning from in like a workshop standpoint. Jonathan, anything else?
And I think you hit on the main points. Like, again, we're always trying to learn from each other. Like, that's like another like a big thing. Like, we all come from it from different backgrounds, and that's like the point of Freed, right? Like, bringing other people to the table. And so we try to, we try to embody that, right? We try to learn from each other, take each other's expertise, and like learn from that, and incorporate it into our workshops, as well as when we even in our work away from Freed. I feel like I try to incorporate the things I learn from my colleagues in Freed all the time. So, yeah.
That's great. I'm glad that there is that responsiveness within the organization to meet the needs of the students as they come up. Because we'll never know. You never know as an organization what people need until they can make it clear. So that's great that y'all can do that. I want to get into some of the questions of how people can participate, and I want to know who can apply to be a part of the program and how can students get involved.
So we students get involved by basically we sent out an application early in the year. Actually, the applications have just closed, so if you're a student listening to this and learning about this for the first time, sorry, but we're going to try to do it again next year, so now you have a head start. But we have a application, and we try to make the application as easy for students to fill out as possible. And again, we grade that application, and we're again looking for these students that mostly show like passion and show that they face barriers. In fact, if they have shown some level of experience with research, they actually get a little sort of they don't get as high grade on the application process, because again, we're trying to give these opportunities to students that don't have that have these opportunities before. So that's the main way students get involved, through this application. The application can be found on the Freed website, as well as our Instagram and all our socials. It is closed for this year. We had a great turnout, and we're currently grading the applications right now.
And it goes out to students at Queens, at Guelph, where else?
Trent University and Waterloo this year. I think Western as well, but I'm not too sure. So Freed right now operates out of different institutions. And so each institution has a set of organizers. So Jonathan and I are the Guelph organizers. And so each institution has their own application for their trip. So Freed and McMaster this year we're doing our trip together at Algonquin. U of T is doing a trip out to Algonquin. Queens is doing a trip out to the Queens Biology Station. I think that's what it's called, Cubes. Trent and Waterloo, I think, are doing a weekend trip to the Algonquin Wildlife Research Station. And so each application will be specific for the institute that you are from. We typically don't bring students from other institutes, just for like insurance purposes, to make sure we have all the forms right and everything like that. So students apply for Freed for their institution's trip. And so the applications for Guelph and McMaster have closed, as Jonathan mentioned, and we are trying to run it again next year. So if students from other schools are interested, your school might be running it.
That's cool that folks get to meet each other from different schools, too. It's not just networking within one program. It's networking across programs, across universities. I was wondering as well, how do professionals get involved? Like if someone's like, hey, this sounds great, I want to support, how can they get involved with the program?
Yeah, so every year Freed puts out a call for workshop applications. And so I think it's done in the fall, probably around September, October. And so it's an open application, same thing. It's on our website, on our socials. We'll advertise it as much as we can to have folks that are interested in leading a Freed workshop. And so same thing, they put in an application and it's scored by the Freed directors. And so if they're interested, they can do it that way. I'm not sure if we have it at an institution level where they can select which trip they're going to, but we try to divide all these amazing workshops as much as we can across the different Freed trips. And then sometimes there will be a program or an individual that is just so exceptional, so cool, that we will headhunt them. So for example, this year, I participated in a paddle like a girl paddling workshop. So it's led by a woman of color. I believe her first name is Tori. I can't remember her last name. I'm so sorry, Tori. And I loved it so much. It was really empowering because it was led by a woman of color. And I said, you would be perfect for Freed. And so we headhunted that workshop for the students this year. But those are how people who are interested in leading workshops can get involved.
Awesome, awesome. And paddle like a girl is Tori Baird.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. I was like, I wanted to say Birch almost. And I was like, I'm getting too nature-y right now.
Yeah. I think she's done stuff with the BIPOC Outdoor Gear Library as well.
And so, yeah. They came last year. So.
Cool.
We got a network going.
Yeah.
We Freed loves the BIPOC Gear Library. So that's who hosted the Paddle Like a Girl workshop, and they subsidized the cost. So it was actually really, really affordable. So shout out to the library. And we also had the BIPOC Gear Library come out last year to Freed, and they provided quite a bit of equipment for us as well. So we love working with them. And that was another headhunt. I was a big fan of them, and I was like, please, would you come out? And also, can I buy some t-shirts?
Oh, yeah, I bought t-shirts too.
So that's a great segue again. Like, how can organizations, folks like BIPOC Outdoor Gear Library, or even places like maybe Arc'teryx and North Face, how can these organizations get involved to support the work that y'all are doing?
So we do have a lot of organizational support, and some come in the form of monetary. So obviously Ontario Parks is providing a lot of monetary support this year, but a lot of them do provide in-kind support, because obviously we understand sometimes monetary support is hard, but different organizations can provide, for example, workshops. So Birds Canada does a bird birding and a bird banding workshop. Well, they're definitely doing at least two of them for two of our events this year. So instead of giving us money, they send us two professionals that can teach this skill and can lead this workshop. And so we don't necessarily have to pay for an individual to teach that workshop anymore. It's sort of part of their contract, is part of their organization. So that's one way organizations can get involved. I think, is there anything else we can add, Alana?
Sometimes we get equipment.
Yeah, right.
So Vortex, I believe. Yes.
Vortex
gave
Vortex.
Freed a set of, I want to say, 10 binoculars. So we're super happy to have that. I think that's all I know about equipment. I'm sure there's also more equipment that we've gotten. The Toronto University of Toronto students handle all of the Freed equipment, just so we have it in a centralized location and it's not all over Ontario. So they would have a better idea, but I know we're also taking equipment from organizations. If anyone's listening and would like to reach out, I'm looking for a telemetry set currently.
That's great. And how much does telemetry set cost, if y'all had to cost it out?
You have to buy it in pieces. So a telemetry set, it's essentially like your own little mini radio station. Hey. And so it comes with a pole, like a satellite dish almost. That I think can be around anywhere between 2000, 1000 and 2000. You need the receiver, which is like your little handheld radio. If you want a digital one, if you want a fancy one, that can be around $16,000. Nope, 1600. Pardon me.
I'm gonna say 60,000. Oh my god,
that's real nice. That's a nice radio.
That's a very nice radio. 1600 to 1300 if you want like an analog one. And then the telemetry tags themselves, so the pieces that you're putting out on the animals that you are eventually going to track, those are around 175 each. And so right now we're able to get this equipment from the Newman Lab. Thank you, Amy. But Freed would like to have their own equipment because we're not going to be grad students forever. And so we want to make sure that Freed can be its own kind of like self-sustained ecosystem rather than borrowing all our equipment. So if there's anyone who has a telemetry hookup, I am very much looking and very excited to get Freed some of that equipment because it is a valuable skill and it's a skill that we're able to teach consistently every year.
I feel like these are skills that, yeah, you might get to learn in small sessions if you get the time off or if you get the time to go out and volunteer. And then these workshops, you know, one of them sounds great. Like what an experience to go for a workshop, any of these, like a birding workshop or a paddling workshop for 3 hours anytime. But the opportunity to go for a week, spending nights and dinners together, developing community, developing friendships and relationships that'll probably last into your professional careers as well. What an amazing program. How do we find out more about what Freed is doing? How can folks look y'all up?
So you can find us on Instagram. I want to say Twitter as well as
There's
Facebook.
A Twitter
and
as
we
well, yeah.
also Okay, perfect. Or an X, whatever you like to call it these days. And then we also have a website. It's freedalgonquin.wordpress.com, I believe. And so that will have kind of all the information about Freed. And it also have a collection of all the information for the different universities that are participating. So if you're a student and you don't know where to start, I would 100% say start at the Freed website. And all the applications are there. And also all of our emails are there.
Great. Yeah. And that's Freed, FREED underscore fieldwork for the Instagram. And like you said, freedalgonquin.wordpress.com for the website. And these will be in the show notes if folks want to look those up too. I think y'all are doing such amazing work that's really important now more than ever. Thank you so much for doing this work, and everybody, I know it's not just you two, everybody that's involved with Freed. It makes me very, very happy that things like this are happening. So thank you so much.
We're super excited to be a part of such a cool and meaningful program, and it really is an honor to be able to get to do this work.
That's fantastic.
100%.
Cool. Thank you so much again for being on the show and taking the time to be here and tell everybody about it. I'm just so stoked that y'all are doing what you're doing. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Alana.
Thank you very much, Byron.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, I want to just say a big thanks to Alana and Jonathan of Freed Field Research in Ecology and Evolution Diversified for taking the time to be on the show and for putting in the work to help run that program and get all those students out doing field research in a really awesome, accessible way and making it accessible. It's so good. I would never be able to participate in any of these Freed programs. Obviously, I'm white, and it's for BIPOC students, undergrads. But I know coming up, not having the money, you know, to do. I never went to any of these provincial parks until I was quite older. So to know that they're making things accessible for folks on the same front and on different fronts, that just makes me really happy. I appreciate it a lot. If you want to learn more about what they're doing, again, you can go to freed underscore fieldwork on Instagram, or you can go to freedalgonquin.wordpress.com and check out the website. But they covered a lot of it. But check out those if you're interested. There are ways to support if you want to. If you want to learn more about this show, you can also go to Know the Land, www.toknowtheland.com. You can check it out on Instagram at To Know the Land. You can email me, toknowtheland@gmail.com, if you have any more show ideas or interesting thoughts or feedback. I love getting feedback from folks. I appreciate it a lot. That conversation keeps things alive, inspires me, teaches me things. So please feel free to reach out. If you want to support the show that I'm doing, you can also go to toknowtheland.com/donate and get up there. Thanks to everybody who's supporting on Patreon. Yeah. I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. Take care.